do keep those memories of Buta Kasim coming in. I really appreciate it, and we're hoping to reflect as many of those throughout the rest of the morning. We're continuing a conversation that you had with us yesterday. Many people calling in, asking questions about insurance fraud. We were, of course, reflecting on the case involving Rosemary Ndlovu, the Gauteng police officer, who is now charged with the murder of six of her family members, all in the name of trying to reap the benefits of insurance policies. It's a case that's also getting quite a lot of traction on the 24-hour news channels. Plenty of questions be asked and things that I cannot answer because I'm not in the space of forensic auditing or with any form of intricate knowledge of the insurance and industry. But Megan Govender is a convener of the ASISA Forensics, part of the Association for Savings and Investments in South Africa. Megan Govender, thanks so much for joining us. People are having plenty of questions. The most primary question that people have and that have contacted us yesterday is, how do I know if I have a family member or maybe even just a complete stranger who has a life insurance policy in my name? How do I go about finding out who's insured my life and for how much?
Good morning, Lester, and to your listeners. It's a very interesting question that's been on the lips of many of our consumers. I think the first place to start off with is to contact your financial planner. Mm-hmm. And to obviously give him permission to do inquiries to see, you know, where you're covered and where you have insurance products at various member companies.
Is there no way then I can simply just do a ID number search and see where my life is insured by another person who would then reap the benefits of that insurance policy? No standard consumer database available yet?
Unfortunately, we don't have a central consumer database for that specific purposes. Obviously, for, you know, privacy reasons. But there are facilities that offer via your financial planner that you are able to do that type of inquiry. Unfortunately, you know, it's similar to, you know, having multiple bank accounts. Banks don't have a central database across the industry. And in the insurance industry, it works exactly the same.
Mm. What would be needed to start those regulatory sort of procedures? Would there be a legislative change to provide a central database for people to check where there is insurance taken out on their names?
It is one possibility that, you know, legislative changes forces us to create a central repository that allows individuals to do such inquiries. Alternatively, you know, you could also have collaboration within the industry, but obviously there's a number of legal hurdles that would have to be covered there. Also, given the fact that, you know, we now have Papaya that also sort of, you know, covers, you know, how personal information is used and shared and so forth. So there are many ways that this can be done, but obviously as an industry, we will be taking that further.
In terms of this is now this story, this case that is currently before the court, that's getting plenty of traction on social media as well as traditional media about this murder case, just has brought it to attention, you know, the issues of insurance fraud from a forensic investigating point of view. I know you can't speak to the merits of this particular case. Mm-hmm. But is this something that you see regularly, red flags being raised of, oh, whose policies are these and who are the actual beneficiaries? Is this something that you actively, you know, keep a tab on in the industry?
Yes, we do keep a tab on this, Lester. Interesting, you know, the case that's currently playing out in Palm Ridge relates to claims that were submitted between 2015 and 2018 to various insurance companies. In stats that we collated in during this year relating to fraudulent claims that were identified by insurers in 2020, we saw the same kind of modus operandi appear in some of our significant cases.
Mm.
So, you know, obviously our products are designed for the consumer, the general consumer. Unfortunately, we do have, you know, people that will look to exploit the processes to take out cover on people that are totally unrelated to them. So as insurance companies, individual insurance companies, we each have our own internal controls around how we identify claims as and when they come in, obviously based on the information that's on claim documentation.
Mm.
In this case, it was identified by a number of insurers that, you know, the information did not sit very well because there were certain red flags that were identified.
Mm. Let's go to a quick voice note, 0725671567. Let's have a listen.
Lester, this guy is saying for privacy reasons, you can't just check what insurance products are out in your name. For privacy reasons, surely someone else mustn't be able to take out an insurance product in my name. I don't want a price on my head.
The other question, Gerald, but shouldn't you should be a signatory on one of those documents. The way is, or the tricky bit is, on what means are people getting your signature? Under dubious means, under false claims. So how are we making sure that the documents that we are signing are in fact not going to benefit an individual down the line? Oh, we appear to have lost Megan there, unfortunately. We'll try to keep this conversation going.